Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you and we again thank you for your beloved Son. Oh, how we rejoice in Jesus. Oh, he is more than wonderful. And Lord, thank you again that you've given him so freely to us and we delight in him. Oh, how beautiful is the Lamb of God. Lord, now we just ask you by your Spirit, open up the Scriptures to us tonight. God, take this love through the Holy Ghost, shed it abroad in our hearts, Lord Jesus. And again, let us just rejoice in the romance of these Scriptures. God, let it just speak to our heart in such intimate, divine, that communion that you want us to enter into. Lord, you've prepared this time. You've prepared this place. You've prepared this food. And Lord, thank you. You've prepared us to receive it. Thank you again for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for all grace, always, for all things, to superabound to every good work. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles up. We're going back to Ephesians. And we left off in chapter 3. So get on over there. If you're tuning in for the first time, I'm encouraged. Every life so valuable to the Lord. And if you're a child of God, that life is so valuable. All he wants you to do is grow up fully. And this is how it happens. This is how we grow. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank God that we have the whole counsel of God, that as we're in this Ephesian letter, these were the things that were hidden. They were hidden from the prophets and the sons of men. But now unto us, praise God, they have been made known, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we rejoice in these things. But we concluded last week in Ephesians 3. And let's go ahead and begin reading from verse 7. And it says here, Paul, wherefore I, Paul, was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me. Oh, what the Holy Ghost can do. Who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? That I should preach among the Gentiles. And we went through that so detailed last week that these are saved Gentiles. These are the believers of the church age. That he should preach to believers the unsearchable riches of Christ, the much the more doctrine, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See, getting in there, knowing it intimately, to fellowship with it. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So we have here this sweet invitation. And that invitation and encouragement to the Apostle Paul that he tells us very plainly was to make all saved Gentiles, all the believers in the church age, that they would see, that they would have eyes to see, that they would have a vision. The Word of God speaks of it as enlightened eyes of understanding by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost, as it was brought out in John before Jesus ascended, or actually went to the cross and was going to ascend into heaven, he told those disciples that he had to go. He was going to be crucified. They still didn't believe him. They really didn't understand what he was saying. But he said, you know, honeys, I love you so much. I've had such a beautiful time with you. I'm so thankful, as he rejoiced to the Father. Oh, Father, that you've given me these friends. They're not my servants. They're my friends. They're my brethren. Praise God. Because they believed thou art the Christ. But he wanted more with them. He wanted more of this fellowship. And this is the fellowship he was talking about. And that fellowship, praise the Lord, was only going to come one way. They had to know the one that they were called to fellowship to. They had to know Jesus. And Jesus told them plainly, said, you know, I've been with you 3.5 years. You're adults. We've communed and conversed every single day. But yet there's many things I want to tell you, but you can't understand them. You can't even understand them with me standing right here. I am that I am, the Word, right in front of you, speaking to you, laying your head on my breast. You still can't understand this. You can't get this. But there's a reason for that. And there's a need you have. Because the only way that we're going to have the fellowship that you're going to understand someday that you can have with me. He wasn't going to tell them about the Apostle Paul then, but he was getting to that through the Holy Ghost, you see. But he said, those things that I want to tell you, you can't bear them, you can't understand them. The Spirit of truth, though, the Holy Ghost, he's been with you, and he shall be in you. And see, what's going to happen is I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, okay? And when I send the Holy Ghost, praise God, he then will guide you into all truth. He'll take the things of mine and he'll show them unto you. The Holy Ghost takes the things of the Lord that are yours as children of the King. Remember, when we're born of God in Christ, what do we learn right from the beginning in Ephesians? We have been blessed. It's done. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We've got them all. Amen. But unless we grow up, unless we have the eyes of understanding to understand our birthright, to understand what we have in Christ, we'll be just as the servant, just as the servant in the palace, even though we were born to be king. Lord over all of it, with the Lord, joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. And what a shame that we would miss that opportunity when he died and gave everything for us to have that, not just opportunity, but that life that had all the capacity in us to grow up to have it. Amen. So clear, so beautiful. So here we have this wonderful power that was given to Paul. This encouragement to preach this message by the power of the Holy Ghost. To have enlightened eyes of understanding to see and understand the message that was given to the Apostle Paul. And what was that message? The message is right here. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, that he should preach among saved Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The message of riches past finding out. The message of the riches that would never be exhausted. The message of the riches that are infinite and never ending. That's the message, praise God, of the Apostle Paul. And in Colossians chapter 1, we'll turn back over there. We read through this again and again. And it's amazing how on Sunday and Wednesday, over the past few months, he's had us right here in Ephesians. I mean, we're just basking in this thing. This is bacon time. Praise God. And I believe the oven's about to sound. And hallelujah. Oh my, she's going to be ready. Oh, ready for the arms of the bridegroom. But here in Colossians 1, 26 and 27, it says, the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Not to the world, but once again, to save Gentiles, to the believers in the church age. This is now made manifest to believers. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. There it back is, the riches of this mystery. And again, it says among, but that's in the saved Gentiles. You got a mystery in you, praise God. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God, we've been born, hallelujah, with all the glory of God capacity. It's all there. But little glory got to grow up to full glory. And this is what this is. This is what this message is. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the saved Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, we see exactly where all those infinite riches of glory are. They're in you. Hallelujah. The riches of the glory of this mystery in us. That's really what this is. And it's in us in Christ. That's where he's put it. It's all there. All that riches. All the treasure in the earthen vessel. Praise be to God. The mother load of glory is all right there in us. Us in Christ and Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's clear. It's Paul's gospel. It's Paul's gospel. That is what's to see. That's what's to see. That's what's to know. That's what's to get. This mystery from the beginning. This mystery from the beginning. And what did it say back in Ephesians 3:9? the mystery from the beginning of the world. Where was it hid? It was hid in God. The Father's will, praise God, hid in God and put everything into his Son and now is made manifest to us. This is what this is. Praise God. I do hear a roar in the city right now. And I thank the Lord for that. There should be a roar. Praise be to God. Now, let's go on in verse 10 and 11. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, man, that's a lot of power, might be known by the church. Looky there. Read that again. To the intent that now, see again, it's now, isn't it? See, it wasn't then. It wasn't back then. This is the much the more. This is the better thing. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't try to say, well, you know, this is... No, just read what it says. Take it. Praise the Lord. He said, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. Don't worry about the other guy. You just got to... I'll tell you what, you got to focus on you and the Lord. Okay? It'll happen. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ, in Christ, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beautiful to read that with the Spirit reading it to you, isn't it? Hallelujah. So first off, we do see there is the much the more here again. All of what Christ has finished, praise God, he put in himself. The manifold, unending wisdom, all of it. And it might be made known to who? What does it say? Did it say that it might be made known to the world? To the church. You see that again? You see, this is different. All of this is different. That the saved Gentiles would be. That the saints would receive. That the church would receive. So see, these are ones that are already saved. We're already in, at this time, see, we're already in the church age. Amen. We're already into the church age. Right there at Pentecost. Then they began to be then filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they were being prepared, praise God. And there was a lot of things that happened by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There was power, amen? He said power would come upon them, power to preach, power to stand, power to believe, power to love, power to receive grace and understand. But the power and the intent of the Holy Ghost, the height of it, was coming. And it was a message. And it was this message of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it was coming about, 14 years later? And it was coming on a road to Damascus. This guy that was out there to kill all the Christians. He's going to put down that right there, wasn't he? God said, oh my, he's going to be the minister of the greatest testimony of grace there will ever be. Praise you, Jesus. Now, so, the bridal message is for and offered only to the church. It's not to the world, it's to the church. As we've been reading, as you go on with Ephesians, you realize that he wants that glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It's the glory in the church that he's after. And this is that offering to the church, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that unsearchable riches of glory. This is what he wants the church to take. And this will be the rib portion that will come out of the church. This will be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. This will be the glory in the church. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just like we read, as I mentioned, in Colossians 1:26, it was for the saints. In Ephesians 3:6, it's for the saved Gentiles. And this is something that is offered now to his people. It's the better thing. the incredible power of the Holy Ghost, the abundant super beyond, exceeding leftover and still more abundant grace to be in the bride of Christ, to rule and reign with Jesus forever. But yet, think of this, even though this is now offered to the church, not all of the church will embrace the bridal message. And isn't it mind-boggling to think? But yet remember this, it's not us, it was the grace of God with us. And but for the grace of God, you would just be as ignorant as the next baby in Christ that didn't want to receive it. No, it's all the mercy and grace of God. Now, let's go on here. The thing that is going to be made known. This is so beautiful. And you see it there in verse 11. This is what's going to be made known. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. According to the eternal purpose, isn't that beautiful? Which he purposed in Christ Jesus, there it is, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what he's going to make known here is his eternal purpose. God is going to reveal what the eternal purpose on his heart in ages past has been. He's going to unveil it, okay? What he's always had on his heart from the very beginning, what he purposed in himself. And notice here the two purposes in this verse. We have a double portion of purpose. It's true. But what's so wonderful here is that this purpose, praise God, that has been forever purposed in his heart. Each of these purposes have different meanings, even though we're reading here, it looks like the same word, but it's not. They're different words. The first purpose means setting forth of a thing into full view. He's going to display something in full view. Okay? So according to the eternal purpose, or what his purpose was, is that his eternal purpose is that he was going to set something in full view. That's his eternal purpose. He's got something that's going to be magnified completely for all to be made known. All right? And if you're wondering, well, what is that? What is that? Well, the second purpose hits it right on the head so that there is nothing to be argued about. The second purpose means to make ready to perform the thing that's going to be put into full view. Well, let me tell you something. Christ Jesus did not need to be made ready. No. He was always ready. There's a wife that needs to be ready. Praise God. And she is going to be placed into full view. Because that's the eternal purpose that he purposed in himself. Christ is going to present that to himself. Now, the only thing that could ever be put in full view like that, you can read about that in Romans 8, 19, the manifestation of the sons of God, to set them into full view. The bride descending, having the glory of God, she's going to be set into full view. That's Revelation 21, 10 and 11. And what will be is that which he has purposed to make ready to perform in himself, the very rib portion in himself. Praise God, the wife hath made herself ready, Revelation 19, 7. And I will make known, Revelation 3, 9, to all that I have loved thee. To set in full view, she is the object of his desire. As the father told the son long time ago, honey, it's not good for man to live alone. That's the purpose. And that's the purpose that's going to be set there for all to see. This will be the unveiling of the wife for the Lamb of God. In Christ, in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? In Christ, everything is there in Christ. From the new birth to the ruling and reigning, in Christ, it's never anywhere else. We're born into it, we're grafted into it, and praise be to God, we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, to grow up into him in all things in Christ. Thank you, Lord. We are perfectly set, aren't we? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Now, we've been made one to have it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And the only requirement is what we're reading of here. The understanding of Paul's knowledge in the heights of the love that is in it. That's what it is. And look at, as much as we've read is so amazing, but it only gets better and better and better and better. And here's verse 12. Right back into who? In Christ. In whom? In Christ we have. So think of all that. Let's go back and read from 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ, Jesus our Lord. In Christ we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wow, I'm glad I'm his workmanship. Wow, I'm glad he will perform the good work which he's begun in me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He will perfect that which concerns me. I'm confident, that confident, in the grace of God. So the power that is ours, brothers and sisters, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. See, isn't that exceeding, abundantly, above all we ask or think? Look at that. I mean, we could say we could have boldness and that would have been great. Oh, no, we've got boldness and access. No, you have boldness and access and you're confident. That's a big one, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? Confident. I'm bold in him. I'm bold in him with, confidence by the faith of him. Oh, thank you, God, that we live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the life that is in us. Hallelujah. So this power is ours in Christ. And notice again, it says, we have. It's done. It's complete. You have this. You have this, Christian. You've got this. Praise God. This isn't something you need to beg for. What, you're just born that way. You're born that way. You got it. It's like the kid, you know, that... You saw him and said, man, I just wish I could throw that way. You know, he could throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. It seemed like he could throw it at 8 years old. It didn't matter. I could work and throw a ball. Man, I'd never hit 55. But that boy was born with it. That's it. It's bing. Well, let me tell you something. When you get Christ, it's bing. You have it. You have it. Thank you, Lord. It's okay. You can be thankful, confident. And I love how Brother Hill said, I'm proud of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm proud of my dad. Proud of my Savior. What they've done for me. Praise God. We've got it. This verse written is not asking you, is it? It's telling you. Isn't that beautiful? It's telling you. God's telling you. I love that. He's telling you who you are. He's telling you, you have it. And not only telling you, you have it, he's expecting you as if you already in Christ, you have boldness and access with confidence and by faith that you've taken it. He's expecting that you have taken this. He's expecting that he's granted you with this such great salvation that you've went in there and man, it's mine. He's expecting you, when God speaks to you, you know what? You say, I believe it. It should be that simple, shouldn't it? God said it. It's so. But yet we have such a hard time to believe the only one we should ever believe. We have a hard time believing the only one we should ever trust. The only one who will never lie to you. The only one who's always for you. And yet he's the one so often we have the hardest time believing. What a God. What a God. Now, the Lord is so loving and passionate, he has always seen us taking it. You see why he delights? He abounds in the hope of the life of his son in us. He does. He loves his sons. Anybody ever have a child? You love that child. And you abound in the hope of what that child will do, be, all the things. Not that, you know, in any other way, but just, it's called love. It's love. But he expects as if we already have it, and he's passionate for it. And he's already seen us taking it, really. That's his heart for us. And see, that's getting back to all of these sermons we've had recently, the hyperparousio grace. That exceeding, overflowing, superabundant extra grace that it's already done for you and there's leftovers. Can we just agree tonight to expect him to finish the good work which he's begun? Can we do that? Can we just do that? Can we just sit there in fellowship and that be our fellowship? Our family? Praise God. To trust him fully to perform it, that it's all there, all the faith. Just believe that he's given all the faith, and we just go in there and take it. Praise God. I think I've heard that over the years, haven't you? Something about just take it. Someday we'll be able to say, and again, it was just Christ in him, but thank you, Brother Hill. Thank you, Brother Hill. Now, let's finish out this third chapter with the height of in Christ here. And we move over to Paul's prayer in verse 14. Let's go ahead and read 14 and 15. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that beautiful? He bowed his knees. Starts right there, doesn't it? "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." See, we got just one name, don't we, family? Jesus. And then here it is, verse 16. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory." He sure likes to boast about them riches of his, doesn't he? "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might." There's that Holy Ghost. "By his Spirit." Where? "In the inner man." Now, the inner man. The in Christ, in Christ in you. That's what that inner man is. In Christ in you. That you be strengthened in Christ. In Christ in you. That's the inner man. The hope of glory, Christ in you. This is all the result, brothers and sisters. This is all the result when this transpires in your heart of taking the Lord at his word and the full grace and mercy offering that we just read in verse 12. In Christ we have. In Christ we have boldness. When you're doubting about yourself, which get over yourself and get into the word of God. Because you're born of God and the Word now lives in you. You don't have a life anymore of Jesse or Dwayne or Linda or Mark or Sherry or Ben or Molly. You've been crucified with Christ. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So, in Christ we have boldness and access and confidence by the faith of him. When that transpires and begins to take hold of our life in that truth, brothers and sisters, this is what happens. We come in and we take this boldly, praise God. We take it not just as if it's ours, it is ours, and we make it our own. Praise God. Praise God. This is what grace does. This is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. This is the purpose of truth in love. Strengthened, that word strengthened means dynamite. You're strengthened with dynamite. This is explosive. It is. It blows people up around you that don't want to go along, that want to hurt you, bother you, whatever. The Word of God always blows them up. Neutral they cannot be. And that's it. But we're strengthened with dynamite by the Holy Ghost, because that's all the Holy Ghost will give you. See, love, the love of God, it's dynamite. It'll cause you to will and do of His good pleasure. That's dynamite of the Holy Ghost. And it's all here. All the effectual working power of the Godhead right behind us and before us and His hands upon us. The Father's will, the Holy Ghost power, and the life of His Son in us. Praise God. And here's why. As we close this out tonight, here's why all the power is needed in Christ in you. Here's why you need all this power, brothers and sisters. First of all, we're in this weak and earthen vessel, aren't we? All this thing wants to do naturally is fear and doubt and murmur, complain. It's not quick to believe. Oh, but I got a life. I got the power of His might. Praise God. So I've got all the Godhead here working for me in this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And here's why we need that power. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Brothers and sisters, that word dwell means to settle in marriage in believing. That's what all this is about. You see, in Christ we have boldness and access and confidence by the faith of Him. Just settle down in marriage. He just loves you like that. He just loves you like that. Amen. Rest. Be rooted. Be grounded. That means don't be moved. Be fixed. Convicted in love. Nothing wavering. Completely confident in His bridal love. I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. Amen. That's when she fully surrendered. This is when you're confident and fixed and convicted about His love. And to know the love of Christ. See, that's what goes on here. But His love for you. See, it's His love for you. It's not about your love. It's about His love. Praise God. And be strengthened in the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost in the inner man, in Christ in you, that you are able, as it says here in verse 18, that you are able to comprehend with all saints. This is an expectation for all the sons of God. And what that means, brothers and sisters, that we're able to comprehend, you're able to seize the crown. You just take it. You take Paul's gospel and I got it. It's the message. Praise God. It's the message of the unsearchable riches of grace. I have it. And I lay hold of this and I'm strengthened in the grace of God more and more all the time. That no man's going to pluck that out of my hand. It's not going to. I'm going to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take my crown. Praise God. That's the same strength of God, His grace to give me. That strength, that little strength, Philadelphia Company. Thou hast a little strength. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know it. You take it. You apprehend that which is apprehended you. You finally realize, you wake up someday and you see Jesus. He's not just holding you in your hand. He's hugging you and apprehending you like a bride. And then you apprehend Him like a groom. You say, He loves me like that. I love you, Lord, like that. I take you. I take you as my own too. You're my spouse. I finally see how you've been hugging me all this time. I apprehend Him as He has apprehended me. That highest of embrace. Go back and read that. Go back and search that out. You'll understand that high calling of God in Christ Jesus is about a hug. It truly is. It's about a hug. It's about an embrace. It's about a wife. It's about selling and giving up all that he had to seek out and search out that goodly pearl. She was that valuable to him. Now, and through that love, praise God, this is the love that the Father longs for his Son. And when we're through that love, you get filled with that knowledge of love. Love gives you knowledge of him, and the knowledge of him is love. And when you receive all that, let's just go back and read from 17, 18, and 19, and this will all come together about what we have in Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, again, to seize the crown with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, through that love, praise God, you're filled with all the knowledge, and by that knowledge of his love, you're filled with all the fullness of God. Now, why is that? Because God is love. Because God is love. So if you got all the love of Christ, you are filled with all the fullness of God. I can, through the Spirit, I can make that connection. That's real simple. Amen? If I have, and truly, if I'm able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ, to know all of it and all of its dimensions it's talking about here, I can make that connection that will fill me with all the fullness of God, because God is love. If you lack love, I'm going to tell you something. You lack the fullness of God. You lack that. And the one thing about the bride, she will be full with all the fullness of God. She's filled with it. She's overflowing with it. Because I'll tell you one thing. Loving one another fulfills the law of Christ. It fulfills the law. It just does. That we love one another. This is that love. Literally, lacking, if you lack being filled with merchandise like a ship. That's really what this technically is speaking of if you look at the definition. You lack being filled with the riches of Christ. Only love fills it up. Only love puts the exceeding riches of his glory in your life. Praise God. So it's a love thing. That's what's in Christ. Because he's love. Nothing else. It's not a work thing. It's just like he told Israel, brothers and sisters, I chose you because I loved you. And love is a funny thing. It just loves. You can't really explain it, can you? You can't go back out there and explain, well, why did you choose it? Well, you could get to, why did you choose me? Because I loved you. And you know what? That settles it for me. How about you? Praise God. Wonderful time, isn't it? I love growing up in Christ with you. It's a privilege. And I thank the Lord, you know. It's all the word of his grace. And I thank God that, you know what? He's faithful to his word. And I thank God in whom we have. Never forget that. That's a good one, isn't it? Let's remember that. You start to doubt. Enemies start to chirp at you. No, in Christ I have. In Christ I have. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We come to you and just so grateful again for that wonderful mystery that was hid in you. You put in your Son. And now, praise God, all those riches in us in Christ. Father, what a time it'll be to give you thanks face to face. Thank you, Lord, as we'll be in an embrace with your Son. By the grace of God, that we would apprehend and attain to that place of the spouse, the wife of the Lamb. We thank you again for this calling. We thank you again for all the power of the Holy Ghost, God, that is leading us along. We're on that camel taking the journey. And Lord, I thank God, our ears are in tune to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Lord, thank you again for this call. Thank you again for your choosing. Thank you for this wondrous grace in which we give you all the praise and thanksgiving, all the glory and honor for now and forever. And in Jesus' name we say thank you. Amen.